Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Osho Radio. Osho Radio is a one-hour program for you to relax and go deeper into your meditation. Most of all, the program is there for you to enjoy.
Thank you.
We have a long discourse today and beautiful music from the world of Osho. Today's discourse is from the series Zen, Zest, Zip, Zap and Zing, number 14. You will hear a part of the discourse a little bit more than half an hour. The full discourse is even more than 1 hour. To get the full impact of the discourse, you can go to oshoworld.com and download the whole discourse there for free. If you look under the button, Audio Discourses. In today's discourse, Osho talks about the slavery of children. He says the slavery of children is the last slavery that we should get rid of. It's a subject that touches all of us. All of us have been children, and maybe even if we get older, we get more like children again. We see children all around. Osho says, all children are being conditioned by their parents. The way we live in families is not the way to raise a child. A child needs freedom to live his own life and experiment and go for new adventures.
the first question. Bhagwan, does not a child have as much right to privacy and freedom from parental conditioning as the parents themselves expect? It is one of the most fundamental problems facing humanity today. The future depends how we solve this problem. It has never been encountered before. For the first time, man has come of age. A certain maturity has happened. And as you become mature, you have to face new problems. Slowly, slowly, as man progressed, he became aware of many kinds of slaveries. Only recently in the West, we have become aware that the greatest slavery is of the child. It was never thought before. It is not mentioned in any scripture of the world. Who could have thought a child and a slave to his own parents who love him, who sacrifice themselves for the child? It would have looked ridiculous, utter nonsense. But now, as psychological insight has deepened into human mind and its functionings, it has become absolutely clear that the child is the most exploited. Nobody has been exploited more than the child. And of course, he is being exploited behind a facade of love. And I don't say that the parents are aware that they are exploiting the child, that they are imposing a slavery on the child, that they are destroying the child, that they are making him stupid, unintelligent, that their whole effort of conditioning the child as a Hindu, as a Mohammedan, as a Christian, as a Jaina, as a Buddhist is inhuman. They are not aware of it, but that does not make any difference as far as the facticity is concerned. The child is being conditioned by the parents in ugly ways. And of course, the child is helpless. He depends on the parents. He cannot rebel. He cannot escape. He cannot protect himself. He is absolutely vulnerable. Hence, he can be easily exploited. The parental conditioning is the greatest slavery in the world. It has to be completely uprooted. Only then man will be able for the first time to be really free, truly free, authentically free. Because the child is the father of man. If the child is brought up in a wrong way, then the whole humanity goes wrong. The child is the seed. If the seed itself is poisoned and corrupted by good intentioned people, well-wishing people, then there is no hope for a free human individual. Then that dream can never be fulfilled. What you think you have is not individuality. It is only personality. It is something cultivated upon you, upon your nature, by your parents, the society, the priest, the politician, the educationist. The educationist from the KG to the university is in the service of the vested interests. It is in the service of the establishment. Its whole purpose is to destroy every child in such a way, cripple every child in such a way that he adjusts with the established society. There is a fear. The fear is that if a child is left from the very beginning unconditioned, he will be so intelligent. He will be so alert, aware, that his whole life style will be of rebellion. And nobody wants rebels. Everybody wants obedient people. Parents love the obedient child. And remember, the obedient child is almost always the most stupid child. The rebellious child is the intelligent one, but he is not respected or loved. The teachers don't love. The society does not give him respect. He is condemned. Either he has to compromise with the society, otherwise he has to live in a kind of self-guilt. Naturally he feels that he has been not good to his parents. He has not made them happy. Remember perfectly well, the parents of Jesus were not happy with Jesus. The parents of Gautam the Buddha were not happy with Gautam the Buddha. These people were so intelligent, so rebellious. How the parents can be happy with them? And each child is born with such great possibilities and potential, that if he is allowed and helped to grow his individuality without any hindrance from others, we will have a beautiful world. We will have many Buddhas and many Socrateses and many Jesuses. We will have a tremendous variety of geniuses. The genius happens very rarely, not because that the genius is born rarely. No. The genius happens rarely because it is very difficult to escape from the conditioning process of the society. Only once in a while, somehow, a child manages to escape from the clutches. Every child is being enveloped by the parents, by the society, by the teachers, by the priests, by all the vested interests. Enveloped with many layers of conditioning. He is given a certain religious ideology. He is forced to become a Jew or a Christian or a Hindu or a Mohammedan. It is not his choice. And whenever somebody is forced without his choice, you are crippling the person. You are destroying his intelligence. You are not giving him a chance to choose. You are not allowing him to function intelligently. You are managing in such a way that he will function only mechanically. He will be a Christian, but he is not Christian by his choice. And what does it mean to be a Christian if it is not your choice? The few people who followed Jesus, who went with him, were courageous people. They were the only Christians. They risked their life. They went against the current. They lived dangerously. They were ready to die. But they were not ready to compromise. The few people who went with Gautam Buddha were really Buddhists. But now, there are millions of Christians around the world and millions of Buddhists around the world, and they are all bogus. They are pseudo. They are bound to be pseudo. It is forced on them. They are enveloped in a certain religious ideology. Then they are enveloped in a certain political ideology. They are told that they are Indians, that they are Iranians, that they are Chinese, that they are Germans. A certain nationality is imposed on them. And humanity is one. The earth is one. But the politicians won't like it to be one, because if the earth is one, then the politicians, with all their politics, will have to disappear. Then where all these presidents and prime ministers will go? They can exist only if the world remains divided. Religion is one. But then what will happen to the Polak Pope? To all the stupid Shankaracharyas, to Ayatollah Khomeiniak. What will happen to all these people? They can exist only if there are many religions, many churches, many cults, many creeds. There are 300 religions on the earth, and at least 3,000 sects of these religions, then of course there is a possibility for many priests, bishops, archbishops, high priests, Shankaracharyas. This possibility will disappear. And I tell you, religiousness is one. It has nothing to do with any Bible, any Veda, any Gita. It has to do something with a loving heart, with an intelligent being. It has something to do with awareness, meditativeness. But all the wasted interests will suffer. Hence, parents who belong to a certain establishment, a certain nation, a certain church, a certain denomination are bound to force their ideas on the children. And the strange thing is that the children are always more intelligent than the parents. Because the parents belong to the past and the children belong to the future. The parents are already conditioned, enveloped, covered. Their mirrors are covered with so much dust that they don't reflect anything. They are blind. Only a blind man can be a Hindu or a Mohammedan or a Jaina or a Christian. A man with eyes is simply religious. He does not go to the church or to the temple or to the mosque. He will not worship all kinds of stupid images. When a child is born, he is a clean slate, tabula rasa. Nothing is written on him. That's his beauty. The mirror is without any dust. He can see more clearly. Mum, Jimmy, did you fall over with your new trousers on? Jimmy, yes, Mum. There was not time to take them off. The first grade teacher was talking to her class about nature, and she called it the world around you. She asked little Helen in the first row, "Now Helen, tell everyone in the class, are you vegetable, animal or mineral?" "I am not any of those," she replied promptly. "I am a real live girl." A little fellow who was fishing off the end of a pier lost his balance while trying to land a fish and fell in the lake. Several men who also were fishing nearby rushed to his aid and pulled him out. "How did you come to fall in?" one of the men asked him. "I didn't come to fall in," the kid said. "I came to fish." A large family was finally able to move into a more spacious home. Sometime later, an uncle asked his nephew, "How do you like your new house?" "Just fine," replied the lad. "My brother and I have our own rooms, and so do my sisters. But poor mom, she is still stuck in the same room with dad." Every child is born intelligent, clear, clean. But we start heaping rubbish on him. You ask me, does not a child have as much right to privacy and freedom from parental conditioning as the parents themselves expect? He has much more right than the parents, because he is beginning his life. The parents are already burdened. They are already crippled. They are already depending on crutches. He has more right to be his own self. He needs privacy. But parents don't allow him any privacy. They are very much afraid of the children's privacy. They are continuously poking their nose in the child's affairs. They want to have their say about everything. The child needs privacy, because all that is beautiful grows in privacy. Remember it. It is one of the most fundamental laws of life. The roots grow underground. If you take them out of the ground, they start dying. They need privacy, absolute privacy. The child grows in the mother's womb, in darkness, in privacy. If you bring the child in the light, in the public, he will die. He needs 9 months absolute privacy. Everything that needs growth needs privacy. A grown-up person does not need so much privacy because he is already grown up. But a child needs much more privacy. But he is not left alone at all. Parents are very much worried whenever they see that the child is missing or is alone. They immediately become concerned, afraid, because if the child is alone, he will start growing his individuality. He has to be kept always within limits, so the parents can go on watching, because they are very watching, does not allow his individuality to grow. They are watching, covers him, envelops him with a personality. Personality is nothing but an envelope. It comes from a beautiful word, persona. Persona means a mask. In Greek dramas, the actors used masks. Sona means sound. Par means throw. They used to speak through the mask. You could not see their real face. You can only hear their voice. Hence the mask was called persona, because the sound was heard through it. And out of persona, the word personality. The child has to be continuously on guard because he is being watched. You can see it yourself. If you are taking a bath, you are a totally different person. In your bathroom, you can put aside your mask. Even grown-up people who are very serious start singing, humming. Even grown-up people start making faces in the mirror. But because you are in privacy, you are perfectly aware that you have locked the door. But if you suddenly become aware that somebody is watching from the keyhole, an immediate change will happen to you. You will become again serious, the song will disappear, you will not be making faces in the mirror. You will start behaving as you are supposed to behave. This is the personality. You are back into the envelope. A child needs immense privacy, as much as possible. Maximum of privacy. So that he can grow his individuality, uninterfered. But we are transgressing the child, continuously transgressing. The parents are continuously asking, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Even thinking. They have to look even in your mind. There are few tribes in the far east where each child has to tell his dreams every morning to the parents. Because even in the dreams, he cannot be left alone. He may be dreaming wrong dreams, may be thinking of things which he should not think. The parents have to be reported. The early morning ritual is the first thing before the breakfast. He has to relate his dreams, what he has seen in the night. Psychoanalysis is very late development in the West, but in these far eastern tribes, psychoanalysis has been practiced by the parents for thousands of years. And of course the poor child does not know the symbology, so he simply relates the dream as it is. He does not know what it means. Only the parents know. But this is going too far. It is encroaching. It is inhuman. It is overlapping somebody's space. Just because the child is dependent on you for food, for clothes, for shelter, do you think you have the right to do it? Because if the child says that he had seen in his dream that he was flying, the parents immediately know that that is a sexual dream. Now they will curb his behavior more. They will discipline him more. They will give him an early morning cold bath. They will teach him more about celibacy. And they will teach him that if you are not celibate, things will go wrong. If you think about sexuality, you will lose all intelligence. That you will go blind. And all kinds of nonsense. A child needs immense privacy. The parents should come only to help him, not to interfere. He should be allowed to do things or not to do things. Parents should be only alert that he does not do any harm to himself or to somebody else. That's enough. More than that is ugly. A tourist drove into a small town and spoke to a boy who was sitting on a bench in front of the post office. How long have you lived here? The tourist asked. About 12 years, the boy replied. It sure is an out-of-the-way place, isn't it? The tourist asked. It sure is, the boy said. There is not much going on, the tourist said. I don't see anything here to keep you busy, neither do I, the boy said. That's why I like it. The children like it very much to be left alone. Spaciousness is needed for their growth. Yes, parents have to be alert, cautious, so that no harm happens to the child. But this is a negative kind of causelessness. They are not to interfere positively. They have to give the child a great longing to inquire about truth, but they have not to give him an ideology that gives him the idea of truth. They should not teach him about truth. They should teach him how to inquire about truth. Inquiry should be taught. Investigation should be taught. Adventure should be taught. The children should be helped so that they can ask questions, and the parents should not answer those questions unless they really know. And even if they know, they should say it as Buddha used to say to his disciples, that don't believe in what I say. This is my experience. But the moment I say it to you, it becomes false, because to you it is not an experience. Listen to me, but don't believe. Experiment. Inquire. Search. Unless you know yourself, your knowledge is of no use. It is dangerous. A knowledge which is borrowed is a hindrance. But that's what parents go on doing. They go on conditioning the child. No conditioning is needed on the children. No direction has to be given to them. They have to be helped to be themselves. They have to be supported, nourished, strengthened. A real father, a real mother, the real parents will be a blessing to the child. The child will feel helped by them, so he becomes more rooted in his nature, more grounded, more centered, so that he starts loving himself rather than feeling guilty about himself. So that he respects himself. Remember, unless a person loves himself, he cannot love anybody else in the world. Unless a child respects himself, he cannot respect anybody else. That's why your all love is bogus, and your all respect is pseudo, phony. You don't respect yourself, how can you respect anybody else? Unless love for yourself is born within your being, it will not radiate to others. First, you have to become a light unto yourself. Then your light will spread, will reach to others. It was examination day at a school, and a bad-tempered teacher was questioning a small boy about his knowledge of plants and flowers. The boy was unable to answer any question correctly. In frustration, the teacher turned to his assistant and shouted, "Go and bring me a handful of hay." As the assistant turned to go out, the small boy cried, "And for me, just a small coffee, please." A Pollock was driving along a country road when his car broke down. While he was fixing it, a small boy approached and asked, "What is that?" "It is a jack," said the Pollock. "My father has two of those," said the boy. Then a minute later he asked again, "And what is that?" "That's a torch." "Ah, my father has two of those too." "And over there, is that a spanner?" "Yes," said the man irritably. My father has two of those. The conversation went on in this vein for some time. Finally, the repair was finished and the Pollock got up and went to piss at the side of the road. As he was pissing, he pointed to his reproductive machinery and asked, "Does your father have two of these too?" "Of course not," said the boy, "but he has one that is twice as long." The children are immensely intelligent. Just they need a chance. They need opportunities to grow. The right climate. Every child is born with the potential of enlightenment, with the potential of becoming awakened. But we destroy. This has been the greatest calamity in the whole history of man. No other slavery has been so bad as the slavery of the child. And no other slavery has taken so much juice out of humanity as the slavery of the child. And also, this is going to be the most difficult task for humanity to get rid of. Unless we arrange the whole society in a totally different way, unless a radical change happens, and the family disappears and gives place to a commune, it is not possible. Once this old pattern of family disappears into a more multidimensional setup, humanity can have a new birth. A new man is needed, and the new man will bring the very paradise that in the past we have been hoping in some other life. The paradise can be here now, but we have to bring a new child.
In this program, before we play the discourse, you listen to music from Vedant Anando and Chinmaya Dunster. After the discourse, there was music from the music group in Pune, and we'll finish with Milarepa with a song that says it all. The name of the song is Osho Celebration. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned to Osho Radio. Take care, have a good time, and namaste to you all.
I close my eyes and let go into ecstasy. Wake up to a new day, a new way. Dancing comes the new man, and so I sing.
Oh, show celebration. Join the caravan, the Sarai of life. Join the caravanserai of love. Moving like white clouds into the light. 10,000 Buddhas are here tonight. A message from the rising sun. Forget all tomorrows, they never come. Osho celebration. Join the caravanserai of life. Osho celebration. Join the caravanserai.
Be